Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Thank you.
to another episode, the penultimate episode of Mirrored Voices. We are getting very close to the end of the year, if you can believe it. And my name is Hannah. We are here in the studio with Michelle and hopefully connected, if I did it correctly, with Mariana. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yay!
Well, actually, I'm so close to Sepal, but it's raining so strong. So right now, I am like in a store waiting that the rain be more maybe soft to maybe can walk. But yeah, I'm okay. I'm happy to be in the program today.
We're glad to have you, and hopefully soon in person. Hopefully the rain lets up. Michelle and I were just talking about how we remember about a year ago having to cut programs short to say it's raining in the studio, and we're always a little bit nervous when it rains really hard like this during a program. But fingers crossed, everything has been going well since the fix last year. Hopefully that holds out. How are you doing, Michelle? How are you doing with all this rain?
I'm feeling cold. I actually have a blankie. I hope people don't mind, even though it's not professional.
It's radio. It's okay. No one knows.
Yeah, and also, I'm not sure if I'm sad or happy or relieved, because finally today they were able to hold the funeral for Liam Payne after almost a month since he died. So, I don't know. It's just this feeling of we're relieved that he's finally going to finally rest in peace. At the same time, it's still sad.
Yeah, I missed, I mean, I heard briefly about it, but he died in Argentina, right? Wow. And a month later to have the service.
Yeah, it's a long time to wait.
Yeah. Well, today we have an early commemoration for November 25th, for anyone who doesn't know. Although, if you're in the Encuentro Radio Sepalc audience, you probably have heard of this before. At the very least, last year's program here on Mirrored Voices, we also talked about this day. November 25th is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And this day kicks off 16 days of activism that connects this day with International Human Rights Day as a way to remind everyone that, you know, in order to advocate for human rights, we have to focus on women's rights, as well as, you know, many other subsectors, many other intersectional issues, I think, rather. But, yeah, so today we're looking at the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, November 25th, so coming up in a few days. We also have a workshop focusing specifically on this day that we're all planning for on Saturday at the Colombian Methodist Church in Bogota, a workshop to talk about this day, to talk about the Mirabal sisters who inspired this day, talk about some other women in the Methodist faith, in the Christian faith in general. Recognizing the importance of women is a way of preventing violence against, recognizing the humanity, recognizing dignity, recognizing rights are all part of preventing violence, because we see women as people and not as objects. So we are getting ready for that. Our music today was selected by Mariana. Anything you want to add about the first song we heard, Si Me Matan by Silvana Estrada?
Yeah, that's the music for today that we are going to use. It's about like that topic about the violence against the woman and all these things. And how you said we have the worship on Saturday, so this is one of the songs that with Michelle we are going to use in our group. So I love this song. It made me feel sad because talk about how do you feel if you be the woman that maybe was like killed for a man? So I guess that's so important. Try to give the message that maybe how you're gonna feel if you are the person that suffered these things. So I love the idea that Silvana Estrada used to create this song, and actually she created like a hashtag that's called hashtag Cinemata. And I guess that was amazing because there's other women trying to share about their feelings about the song and about all the situation with the woman.
Yeah, I highly recommend anyone who hasn't yet seen the YouTube video for Cine Matan by Silvana Estrada. It makes me cry. In a good way. It's very touching. Mm. And touches on a deep fear that I think a lot of us women live with every day. Hearing about femicide, hearing about violence, knowing that you could be next. You know, you can take all the precautions that you can to avoid dangerous situations, but often, you know, by no fault of their own, many women who never thought they would be in situations of violence or rape or a lot of things, they never thought they would be in that situation. So it does touch on a fear that I think, you know, myself and a lot of people have, which is why it's so important to talk about, to fight against these injustices, because we shouldn't have to live with that kind of fear weighing over us every day. We can go to another song that touches on that similarly, called Ni Una Menos, from Rebecca Lane, and we'll be right back.
Quisiera tener cosas dulces que escribir, pero tengo que decidir y me decido por la rabia. 5 mujeres hoy han sido asesinadas y a la hora por lo menos 20 mujeres violadas. Eso que solo es un día en Guatemala, multiplícalo y sabrás por qué estamos enojadas. No voy a andar con pinzas para quien no entienda que esto es una emergencia y estamos preparadas. No soy pacifista, no me exijan cosas que no ofrezco, no pedí un pedestal ni lo merezco. Soy como las otras, hartas de andar con miedo, agresiva porque es la forma en que me defiendo. No tengo privilegio que proteja este cuerpo, en la calle creen que soy un blanco perfecto, pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas. La curandera que murió de tantos golpes porque el hombre que la amaba realmente la odiaba. La otra que fue abandonada con un hijo y cuando se enfermó tuvo que mandarle un hospicio. Esto va por mí porque a los 15 años me atravesó la cara un golpe desde su mano. Porque ningún humano se hizo presente el día que un delincuente me dejó el pezón marcado. Esto va por la niña de 9 años obligada a un embarazo porque la violó su hermano. Una niña sin derechos porque el clero considera que la aborto es peor que lo que le han hecho. Me remito a los hechos, no voy a explicarle con dibujos a ningún macho de esos que creen que con su intelectualidad nos van a venir a educar sentados en sus privilegios. No tengo privilegio que proteja este cuerpo, en la calle creen que soy un blanco perfecto, pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas. Cuéntanos bien, en las calles somos miles, desde México hasta Chile y en el planeta entero. En pie de lucha porque vivas nos queremos, no tenemos miedo, no queremos a ni una menos. Díganme loca, histérica y exagerada, pero hoy canto en nombre mío y el de todas mis hermanas. No nos acusen de violentas, esto es autodefensa, estamos sin resistencia, ya no somos indefensas. No. Pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas.
And we are back here on Encuentro Radio today for our program focusing on the International Day for Elimination of Violence Against Women, November 25th. And to start us off, Michelle, tell us what you have for us today.
So today I'm going to talk about a campaign which was founded by the UN Women called Unite to End Violence Against Women, joined the movement. So it was launched by the UN Secretary General in 2008. Unite to End Violence Against Women is a global movement to prevent and eliminate violence against women and girls. The campaign's goal is to raise awareness, mobilize action, and support countries in implementing policies to protect women's rights. So basically, it's a campaign which is mostly active around the 25th of November, considering how it's like a special UN day. And there's also like a campaign which works to eliminate violence against women and children. And the campaign seeks to change the statistics, which are terrible, in relation to violence against women. For example, the fact that 1 in 3 women experience physical or sexual violence in their lifetime, or that 800 million women alive today were married as children, or that violence against women costs global economy $8 trillion annually, or that 38% of murders are committed by committed by their intimate partners. So the Unite campaign seeks to change these staggering statistics, and it also works against many forms of violence, like physical violence, sexual violence, emotional abuse, economic abuse, human trafficking, female genital mutilation, and child marriages. These forms of violence are often interconnected and can have devastating consequences. And this campaign focuses mainly on preventing child marriages, ending female genital mutilation, combating human trafficking, supporting survivors of violence, and also promoting gender equality. By addressing these areas, we can create a safe, more equitable world for women and girls. The United Campaign has achieved remarkable success so far. 140 countries have laws against domestic violence. 125 countries have laws against sexual harassment. And 50 countries have banned child marriages. So for those who would like to be involved in this campaign, in able to like make a difference, you can educate yourselves and others, and you can also visit the UN website, the UN Women website, where there's more information on this campaign, and then also support organizations working to end violence, advocate for policy changes, participate in awareness campaigns, and donate to UN Women. So basically, there's also a hashtag, hashtag Unite, hashtag End Violence Against Women, VAW, and then there's also hashtag Orange the World, because that is mainly the color which is associated with the 25th of November movement. So basically, that's what I had to share today with our lovely listeners about the Unite movement.
Yeah, and speaking of child marriage that you mentioned, Colombia recently, like this year, I think, finally outlawed child marriage after many years of campaign, a lot of work. And you think, like, we're in 2024. Like,
right.
Like, is it really only now that countries like Colombia are outlawing child marriage? And that's along with only like becoming one of 12 in Latin America and the Caribbean to entirely ban marriage for minors, as well as in many other countries. And talking about like the importance of having laws to protect women and girls is really important. As we know, talking on this program, having good laws isn't enough. They need to be enforced. They need to be followed. They need a lot of work behind that to make sure that it really helps the citizens and not just politicians saying, yay, we did it, done. There's
so
a whole
true.
Cultural, social change that also needs to happen.
True, because, for example, in my country, we do know that it's not legal, but there are many people who have their religious practices that still do this to present day. And people who are in those communities, they are so brainwashed to the extent that they believe it's something that was there even before centuries. So it's like a tradition that we have to follow. And even those people that are in this sort of religious practices, like, for example, there's this one sector that believes in not going to the hospital or getting the children immunized and stuff like that. I mean, it's something that is very sad, especially the fact that it's against human rights, especially for women and young girls, but it is something that exists. So I agree with you on the point that it's not enough to just have the laws, but we need to act on them.
I found a few more statistics just to add on, since you mentioned some of them already. Every 10 minutes, this is also according to the United Nations and United Nations Women, every 10 minutes a woman is killed in the world. So that's how often femicide is in this world. Terrible. That's why it's important to have days like this, because every 10 minutes a woman is killed. And additionally, around the globe, female genital mutilation has increased by 15% compared to data from 8 years ago. So we're kind of moving backwards, which is a frustration that I also feel, obviously, in the U.S. with reproductive rights for women is also going in the wrong direction. But around the world, we see cases like female genital mutilation also increasing. So, you know, we don't get a break. We have to work so hard to defend women's rights, to defend rights for girls, and to keep pushing, because the second you stop and relax, like, oh, no, we're good, we've made advancements, we have rights now, everything's, you know, back to normal, those rights get taken away very quickly. And it's easy to regress. And as soon as there's other crisis, economic crisis, global crisis, climate crisis, wars, you know, whatever, women's rights and girls' rights are often the first thing to kind of be pushed aside. Like, oh, that's not important now. We have bigger problems.
True.
Which is a huge issue and sets us back even more. So it's important to continue talking about these rights, to continue talking about days like this, to continue fighting, even if other people say, you know, you're over-exaggerating, or, you know, you're making a big deal out of it. No, we have rights. It's fine. Because we see how easy it is for progress to stop and reverse.
True. It makes me think about the situation in Sudan, like considering how there's been so much political unrest in that country. I feel really sad for the women and young girls that are in that country, because I can imagine, like you're saying, that people definitely will not prioritize that. Instead, they'll be focusing on other things that they feel like are bigger than that.
Yeah, even just in the pandemic, there were statistics showing that a lot of girls stopped going to school. Mm-hmm. Even as schools came back to in-person classes or whatever, there was a regression for especially girls and especially women. Whereas boys were more likely to be sent back to school or more likely to kind of recover from the COVID pandemic, whereas it set girls and women back a lot more.
True.
Mariana, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Yay. You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I read, I guess this morning, that the last statistics that appear here in Colombia is every 24 hours, two women are dying here in Colombia. So I guess right now it's so important talking about it, and I guess the government, it's not caring anything about that. It's like nothing happened. So it's so sad, because we are so close to November 25 and it's like nothing happened. So I guess this how so important talking about it, because the people doesn't know so much about how many women are dying every day.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to a song break quickly and we'll be back to hear more from Mariana. So we're listening to La Cumbia Feminazzi.
dime según tú dónde están mis cámaras de gas. Tu ducha letal sorpresa después de un año de labor forzada. ¿Dónde estás? Tu llanto por un pan. Ni te agarro a cachazos diario, ni te huele a muerte el calendario. No me llames Hermina sino ten respeto por un pueblo entero que sufrió. Me contestó. Libertina, vente a casa, vete a plancharle la ropa a tu marido. Tu lugar es la cocina, piel mesera sin propina, ponte modosita y si no te dejan por la vecina. Y no es que uno sea machista, pero óigame, ya creen que te matan solas. Siendo el rey. Y dime según tú dónde están mis cámaras de gas, tu ducha letal sorpresa después de un año de labor forzada. ¿Dónde estás? Tu llanto por un pan. Ni te agarro a cachazos diario, ni te huele a muerte el calendario. No me llames Semina sino solo porque me autoestima ya te amé.
Speaking of people who tend to think that feminists are like overreacting or things, this song, La Cumbia Feminazi, people say a lot of things about feminists. People like to make fun of feminists for exaggerating or for taking things, you know, too extreme. Obviously, comparing feminists with Nazis has nothing to do with the other. Comparing, you know, people who were part of a fascist government inciting genocide with people who want women to be treated as people is obviously not the same thing. And yet that's one of the many names that feminists get called for speaking out and for doing their work. So calling out against... or calling men out for their misogyny, for their machista attitudes or comments or behavior is clearly not the same as Nazis. And hopefully that is obvious, and yet it's still something that we as feminists might hear and have to deal with, one of the many things in this kind of work, which I think just highlights even more why it's important. Like, if people still don't understand the radical idea that women are people, we have a lot of work to do. And we are back with Mariana live and in person. Welcome. Here. You made it. How's it going?
Good. I was actually so close to OXXO. Mm-hmm. When it started like raining so hard, so I waited a little bit in a store because actually it was so strong, and I don't know how to say that in English, but with granizo,
hail.
Yes. So I was like, no, maybe I can wait.
Yeah, there's not really snow in Bogota, but it does sometimes get hail and like ice storms.
It's difficult.
So, Mariana, we're glad that you are here in person with us again. What do you have for us today for the elimination of violence against women?
Yeah, so how I explain a little bit before I arrive, in Colombia right now we are like in a difficult moment because actually the last statistic said that are like maybe more than 500 women that die in Colombia. And actually, there's something that I want to explain a little bit, that it's a type of violence that actually I'm thinking, how do you say that in English? Because I just listened in Spanish. So it's like vicarious violence. Do you know something about it?
Can you explain a little bit about what it is? And I might.
When the man or the woman use the children's to hurt the other, the other person. No.
But go ahead, please. I'm ready to learn.
Yeah. So, actually, yesterday appear in the news that a man killed her child that have 5 years old. And obviously, for a lot of people, be like a surprise. And I trying to explain some of my friends how is the violencia vicaria. I don't know how to say that in English. So the number of women victim of gender violence, mother by their partners. This is of in Spain. That's explain more about the violencia vicaria. So to understand more about it, so the violencia vicaria is a form of gender-based violence in which the sons and daughter of women who are victims of gender-based violence are used as just object to mistreat and cause pain to the mothers. That's the idea, and for a lot of people, there's like a surprise that this happened. But I remember here in Colombia, it's not the first case that appeared that the man hurt or kill the child to hurt the mother. So yesterday, I guess this was in Cali, maybe so close to Cali, when the man decide to finish the life. To the child, obviously the person that lived there react and attack the man, but the problem it's that the people it's not explaining it what it's happening with that and how it's so important that the people know more about the violencia vicaria, because it's horrid, more difficult. Obviously, the violence in general is difficult, but this, it's, like, more difficult. Actually, I remember one of the cases that appeared a lot of in the notice, that was the father killed the child and called the mom and said, like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. So, yeah, that's something that a lot of people we need understand, because when we talk about violence, we just talk about physical, psychological, economics. But there's other one that maybe it's more strong that you believe. So for a lot of people, he said it's like the more cruel expression, like more strong for a lot of people. So this like happen when you are suffer violence with your partner. Appear when obviously they're like rapes or something like that. Actually, the news yesterday said that the men have problem with drugs, have problem with all these things, but the police and all the people don't do anything. So there's like moments that we need to continue talking about it, because objective for these men that do this is like have the control and like possession for the woman. Obviously, that maybe for a lot of cases the woman not feel like strong to talk about it, to talk about what's happening, and it's so sad because in this case not take like a type of violence for a woman, just like murder, something like that. But that's not so good. Actually, here in Colombia, there's like a few people that talk about violencia vicaria. There's no like a person especially that talk about it and said, this is what's happening, this is what it is, and all these things. So there's other one that called parricidio. This is in Spanish. That it's different about violencia vicaria, because the violencia vicaria, it's against the woman. The only objective for this is destroy the life for the woman. But the parricidio, it's like in Spain, that it's where I found this, like explain for violencia vicaria, that it's like provoke a death for a person that you have like, that you are close to that person. It's not necessary to hurt other people. In this case, the violencia vicaria, it's like just the idea that you are going to hurt the woman. So this is something that I get, it's so important talking about it. There's a lot of people that don't know anything about that. And actually, I guess right now in Colombia, the two groups of person that is suffering more violence is the woman and the child. So I guess it's important talking about it because there's a lot of people that not believe in that. Actually, there's I tried to explain a partner today, and he was so surprised about that. And I was like, no, that's true. That's happening. Mm-hmm. But that's something that a lot of people don't know and don't talk about it. So it's important to understand when it's like a murder or when it's violencia vicaria.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, we always talk about, like, intersection on this program. And so that's also, that's, you know, hurting women by also hurting their children. So doubly, you know, seeing women as not equals, seeing women as deserving of punishment for, you know, romantic relationships or whatever. And then seeing women as children, sorry, seeing children as, like, objects in that. Children as pawns in that game of violence. Really not a game. And obviously for people that don't see women as humans in equal rights, they're, you know, not likely to see children as having equal rights either, even though children from the minute they're born also have rights, and it's part of human rights. And then that puts, obviously, especially girls, in increased danger because they are violated or, you know, experience violence because of both being a child and people thinking that children aren't people, and for being a girl, for being female, for thinking that, you know, women don't have rights either, which makes it especially dangerous for girls.
Yeah, actually, a friend, one of my best friends of my university, asked me about Afghanistan, and she doesn't know anything about what is happening in Afghanistan. And she was like, really? This is happening? It was like, yeah. We have, like, privilege to have some right, obviously not completely. But, yeah, that's, like, a difficult situation for a lot of women that is suffering right now.
And it's always a tricky situation because I understand the people who are like, reading too much news stresses me out and it makes me anxious and it hurts my mental health. And so I can't, you know, be all up to date on the news in the world.
Yes.
And it, on the one hand, I understand that perspective and I have that sometimes too. I'm like, I can't read any more news today. On the other hand, I think people sometimes use it as an excuse to shut off completely and to be ignorant about what's going on in the world. So when we have, you know, these terrible things, threatening women's rights or children's rights, and people just have absolutely no idea what's going on, and so it keeps happening because no one's speaking out against it or not enough people are doing anything to stop it because they don't know.
Yes.
So I think there's, like, a tricky balance of we need an informed public. At the same time, there is so much bad news that we also need to take care of our mental health in the midst of all of that work.
Yeah, and actually I read a lot of comments in Twitter or X when appear, like, new for a man, and there's a lot of men, and what's happening with the feminist women? Where are they? We're not defend the men, and it's like, really? You understand the difference about the statistics to the women and the men? We are not saying that the men not suffer violence. Mm-hmm. That's something that we know because there's a lot of men that suffer violence. But the idea is you understand that the more cases of violence for the woman, it's against the woman. It's not like saying just the person that is suffering violence, it's the woman. That's not something we said. But always, using the word feminazi, that's something that I hate. And if you said me that, that's something that I'm not going to be quiet. And actually happened with a teacher.
Really?
Yes. And he said, like, feminazi. And I was like, why are you saying that? Because it's the same. You're really? It's the same? Are you talking me serious? So in Spanish, obviously, I start explaining all the things that happened in the Second World War. And he said, like, yeah, but it's the same. And it's like, it's not the same, because I'm trying to find, like, the justice for the man and for the woman and for the person that it's part of the LGBTQ community, like you. And he was like, maybe we can try to change the topic. And I was like, maybe yes, because you don't have the argument to tell me that it's correct to say a woman that it's a feminazi.
Right, it's not at all.
It's not, that's not half sense. But yeah, every moment that someone is going to tell me feminazi, I'm going to fight, because that's something that not have, like, a meaning.
Yeah, and for people to, the fact that people still equate feminism with the opposite of machismo, or the opposite of, you know, like, misogyny, it's not, feminism is not hating men. I'm just asking for you to see me as a person and to have rights. You know, why is it so problematic? And the fact that people still have this idea of feminism as being anti-man. And that's why they're like, no, I don't like the word feminism, or we can't talk about it. Or then people get around it of like, oh, I prefer humanist or equalist. It's like,
yes,
we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
In some of the SEPALC workshops, we've done things looking at, like, the violence thermometer, and looking at, when we talk about violence against women for November 25th or any day of the year, obviously there are the big cases of femicide, which is the extreme end of violence against women, causing their death, often by, like we've mentioned, often by romantic partners or even family members. Who kill women because they're women, essentially. But it starts much earlier than that, and so part of this discussion is also putting an end to the early warning signs, while you can prevent things before they get too far. So things like the early warning signs are even just like comments and jokes. Violent comments, violent jokes that are made at the expense of women to put them down, because of their sex, because of their race, because of their ethnicity or whatever. Things like that is like the first step. So yeah. If we can, and especially I think in classrooms with teenagers, with kids from as early an age as possible, to set up the standard that those comments are not acceptable, those jokes are not acceptable here, because XYZ, because if you're thinking about this joke, it's not actually funny if it is meant to, you know, put people down. So that being one of the early warning signs that we can try to shut down before getting to these extreme measures of violence. Things like making inappropriate comments about people's appearances, things like control. A lot of this violence is about power. A lot of cases of sexual assault, sexual violence, rape is not really about, like, sexuality. It's really about an expression of power over other people.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, it's better to call it what it is, rape, as not, you know, non-consensual sex. That doesn't exist. If it's non-consensual, it's not sex, it's rape.
True.
Or sex with minors. No. If they're minors, it's not sex, it's rape. So things like naming these violences, or naming these types of violence, and understanding how power dynamics plays an effect, which is why it's important, because we live in a patriarchal society in which, you know, men often just because of their maleness have more power over women. And while we're working to change that, we also have to be mindful of how those power dynamics affect relationships, affect our situations, affect our work, affect
everything,
and being able to stop violence early, to prevent violence before it gets to the extreme measures, and the importance of naming these things like femicide, like the types of violence that Mariana mentioned, which I don't know how to translate. I don't know how to name them. You know, and yeah. That's part of the conversation in the U.S. I think last time I checked, which was a few years ago, and I doubt it has changed. Last time I checked in the U.S., there aren't really any laws specifically against femicide. It's just kind of included as homicide, as murder. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in the U.S., certainly. But the fact that we don't name it, we don't have statistics really about it, makes it much harder to solve the problem. Because if you don't name the problem or know what it is, how do you make steps towards fixing it?
Sure.
Which is something in Latin America and the Caribbean, I think most countries have laws specifically talking about femicide.
Yeah.
Which reflects the reality that we live in here, but also naming it is the first step in being able to address it and to not just ignore.
Yeah. And I get that's something difficult because they're actually happening here in Colombia, one of the programs, maybe Fox News, that talk and trying to undo a job, no, a joke, sorry, about a woman that was killed, like, maybe 1 week later, before. So I have the conversation with my friend, and I was like, but it's a joke. And it's like, if you take a joke, you're not going to take seriously that the woman, it's that the woman, we are dying every day in the street. But no, that's not. It is, because if you believe that talking about a woman that's so in a terrible situation, it's like a joke. So if that happened to your family and there's a person that do a job, so it's a joke, that's not care. And he was like, yeah, so that's the thing that the people need to understand, that for this thing, not just with the women, with everyone, trying to do a joke, it just like take importance about the situation that is happening.
Yeah, and that's another comment that I think feminists hear a lot. It's like, oh, it's just a joke, you don't have a sense of humor, you can't say anything to feminists anymore these days. And it's like, one strategy that I've seen a lot of people talk about is when you have a man making these inappropriate jokes that are meant really to make you feel uncomfortable, but then they kind of break, oh, it's just a joke, it's just a joke. And they, okay, explain it to me. And it's like, you see how uncomfortable it is to explain your joke.
Yeah.
If you feel that uncomfortable trying to explain it, maybe this isn't something you should say out loud.
Yeah, and actually,
an out loud conversation.
Yeah, and actually, when he talked about that joke, I was like, yeah, explain me what it's funny for that.
Yeah, what is the idea of funny?
Maybe I can laugh, maybe something like that. And he was like, you are talking me a woman that dead in a hotel for a person, for a man that later appeared in the trash. That's something so funny.
Yeah.
And he was like, maybe no. It's like, that's the idea to try to explain that this type of joke, it's not good. So, yeah, that's something that a lot of people not trying to understand, not listen about it. It just said, like, it's a joke. That's not something that it's going to change the world. But it isn't. But it is. There's a lot of people in this case with this program, Fox News. There's a lot of people in Colombia that is so that. And go to the show. So it's like, this is not helping for anyone.
And visiting classrooms in different parts of Colombia, and I mean in the U.S. when I worked with like summer camps and stuff, kids and teens repeat what they hear without really understanding what they're saying. And I remember things that I said when I was in high school. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't think I really understood what I was repeating. People seem to think it was funny, and so we repeat it, and then, you know, you get a little bit older, and you start to analyze what those words mean, and think, oh no, I wouldn't say this today.
Yeah.
And so kids will repeat these jokes without understanding why they're problematic, without understanding the message behind the joke, and it makes it even more normalized, that type of violence in society.
Yeah.
And basically, if your sense of humor relies on racism and sexism, who's the one that doesn't have a sense of humor here? You know, the one who refuses to laugh at racist and sexist comments, or the one who can't think of any other jokes.
Yeah, that's something. But I guess it's good trying to understand that it's not a joke, that it's mm-hmm. not good. Because later, maybe months, you're not going to do it. Because you understand right now that that's not good, that's not a joke. And that how much maybe the person or the family that they... the person that you are talking in the job, it's suffering right now. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like good continue saying to people that maybe this topic is not good for a joke. I'm trying to explain why it's not good, because just saying that it's not good, it's like, okay, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But trying to explain a person what it's not good, trying to use this type of jokes, maybe can change a lot of people than doing for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my, like, New Year's resolutions this year, was to kind of, like, stop the, like, nervous laughter, just, okay, yeah. And to try to be a little more intentional, even if it's not in, like, language, but in, like, body language, or, like, making a face, kind of like, that's a weird thing to say, I don't think that's really funny, or just not laughing when people make those jokes, and make it awkward for them, so that they feel how awkward that kind of comment or joke is, and mm-hmm. makes them kind of think again of like, oh yeah, maybe that's not worth repeating.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that can help or be one step in this elimination of violence against women. It's not enough, but it is a step in the right direction, a step in preventing violence before it gets to the most extreme end of the violence thermometer.
Yeah.
Sure. So we are coming to the end of the program for today. Before we play our last song, are there any other comments, messages you want to send to our audience today?
It turns out that today is also Children's Day.
I didn't realize that.
So happy Children's Day to all the children in the world, and may we continue to fight for their rights mm-hmm. and give them the future that they deserve.
Yeah.
And maybe you trying to find the I know the November 25th is gonna be like a straight here
okay.
in Bogota. I guess it start in La Fiscalía General de la Nación, maybe at 3 p.m. I don't remember where finish, but I know that finish at 7 p.m. So maybe if you can go, it's open for a lot of women that can go.
And if you are interested in our workshop with the Colombian Methodist Church in Bogota, you can also find the information on our WhatsApp status for the radio station. It'll also be shared this week on our social media. Everyone is invited. We're obviously talking about women's rights and the elimination of violence against women, understanding that this is a topic that people of all sex and genders need to understand. So everyone is welcome. And you'll find the information, again, on our WhatsApp, on our social media this week, to come by for the workshop on Saturday at 3 p.m. We're saying 2:30, 2:45, because people often show up late. But we hope to see people there on Saturday. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week for our last program of the year.
Same place, same time.
Have a safe week. Try to pay attention to the news as much as you can to be aware of what's going on around this state and all year. So thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Adios.
Que tiemble el estado, los cielos, las calles, que teman los jueces y los judiciales. Señor Presidente.
si un día algún fulano te apaga los ojos, ya nada me